Being patient and knowing exactly what to pray for aren't things that our society is all that good at. We like answers when we ask questions, and we like service when we request it. Problems aren't something we want fixed eventually. Problems are something we want fixed immediately. Well, in the case of Jude's letter about truth eroders, we will see patience and learning how to pray, that these will play a big part in it. Just so you know where we're coming from, we're studying the book of Jude. This is a letter that was written by Jesus' little brother, Jude. And he tells us right from the beginning, Jude, that this really isn't the letter that he wanted to write. He said, I really wanted to write a letter that would be different from this one. We assume was going to be about more positive things, but instead he had to deal with issues that were going on in the church, which are these truth eroders. And now here we are studying this letter, and we've been going through all these traits that Jude had listed, probably 24 traits of what truth eroders look like and what they do. And it's kind of an interesting note here that this is not what he wanted to do. Jude didn't want to write this letter. So there's lots of things that we don't want to do that we get asked to do by God. I find it interesting that this letter that Jude never wanted to write, this will be the fourth week that we've been studying it. It's only 25 verses, and I thought we would finish it up, but we're going to need an additional 2 weeks after tonight. So Jude, thank you for writing what you didn't think you would want to write, because it's been very important to us. And this is very cool for us to be able to go through this. Now, when you're reading the epistles, and the epistles are letters that were written that would be distributed to the churches. Okay, that's called an epistle. It's a letter. Well, those are what New Testament letters are called. And you will find that these letters are usually, but not always, but they're usually split into two halves. These epistles, these letters. The first half of the letter or epistle usually deals with a theology, like telling us about God, or it will deal with the issue that is at hand that he wants to address, or he will address a problem. The second half of the letter is usually the response to what the first half is about. It's the, here's what we should do about it. That's the second half. And that is the case here in the letter, the epistle, the book of Jude. It's cool because this whole first half, second half thing, it usually hinges on one word. It usually hinges on a word like so, or but, or even a therefore, and that tells you you're switching from this is the problem to this is what should be done about it. Well, such is the case here. After starting with the trouble, pointing out the problem, and he points this problem out quite exhaustively of who these people are that are causing the problem, we arrive at verse 20. And here we have our hinge word. We are hinging now, and the big word is but. In the first half, remember the problem side, Jude was telling us what was going on. He was telling us who was causing the trouble, and he was telling us what they look like and how they act. Then verse 20, here we go. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. What Jude is saying here is that truth eroders will not find themselves safe in God's love. They will not find God's best for them. They will not find life to the full that Jesus gives at his own expense. We can avoid the problem of truth eroding with some erosion control. We can find ourselves safe in God's love. We can have God's best for our lives. And we can find life to the full that Jesus gives us at his own expense. We can remain, as Jude calls it, and we're going to unpack this, safe in his love. Truth eroders will not find this, but we can. And Jude gives us erosion controllers. Would you like to hear what these erosion controllers are? Yes, we would, Pastor Drew. Please tell us. Very good. Well, here we go. Number one, build each other up, he says. Right? What we just read there, the first thing he says, dear friends, you must build each other up. Now, how interesting that Jude puts his finger on an each other issue. This is an each other issue. This is not a personal effort. What I mean is that Jude says we are best suited to avoid truth eroding in a group. Yes, we need individual study. That's true. Yes, you are accountable for your spiritual growth. Yes. And yes, your relationship with Jesus is an individual and a personal one. But fighting the battle against truth erosion, the way we try to tear down God's word and make it say something other than what it's saying, this battle is best fought, and we're best to stay in the center of the road to the celestial city by doing it with fellow travelers. Walking the road with trained soldiers at our side. This way, we can build up each other's faith. Build it up on the weekdays and avoid susceptibility. This way, walking down the road with others, we can build up each other's knowledge of the scriptures, hashing things through and comparing what we've learned. This way, we can build up each other's immune system against false teaching and scripture twisting. Now, I remember being at a conference one time, and the speaker was telling us about all different types of leaders, all different kinds of leadership styles. And he said, well, you know, there's the organizational leader. Then you have the re-engineering leader, and he talked about that. Then he talked about the inspirational leaders, and he talked about those, the visionary leaders. Then he went on to talk us about managing leaders and reorganizational leaders. And he went through his whole list, then at the end he said, now, all these leaders are great, and we must have them, but I would trade every single one of these leaders, I would trade every single one, for one good, encouraging leader. I'm starting to understand what he was getting at that day as I get a little bit older. I am finding that at the end of the day, after seasons of a life of hard knocks, and after massive spiritual failures, our default leadership style should be one of encouragement. I'll say that one more time. Our default leadership style should be one of encouragement. Let me read you what a pastor wrote. He said, I cannot make people do what is best for them. I cannot convict them enough to bring about any sustained life change. I cannot turn their hearts from ignoring God and embracing ruin. And my tears over their unbearable consequences have no appreciable impact at all. But what I can do is tell them that there is always hope. What I can do is encourage them to turn to a loving God. What I can do is spur someone on to fight again. He says, I cannot build their life, but I can build up their heart. Jude starts his solution to truth eroding by saying, build each other up. I guess Jude would trade any other kind of leader for an encouraging leader too. It's time for us, as reading this letter, to have a little heart check. Are we building people up? Would others say that you are building people up and that you are a people builder? Because the answer to that question should be yes. Next in Jude's truth erosion control is this statement. He tells us, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an interesting command. The pray part, I get. I get that. Speaking to God in adoration, speaking to God in supplication, speaking to God in thanksgiving, and then waiting and listening for God to speak back. But praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what exactly is this? Well, gang, Romans 8, 26 and 27 offers us some clarity on that. Let's look at that. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Did you hear that? We don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. This verse helps all of us who have ever said, I don't know what I should ask God for. Or, I don't know what I should do. Lord, should I ask you to get me a new job? Or, should I ask you to persevere in the one that I have? Lord, should I end this relationship? Or should I try to fix it? Should I act in this particular situation? Or should I be patient? Well, Romans 8 acknowledges that we don't know what to pray because we don't know what God wants for us. We could very well be asking for something other than what God wants for us. But there is someone who does know God's will for us and can pray in harmony with God's will. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we should do. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what God wants for us, and He knows what we should request of God. Therefore, we find that when we pray in the Spirit takes our prayers and puts them in His post office satchel, travels to God, and then beseeches God for the things that God wants us to have. Things according to His will. Let's read Romans 8, 26 and 27 again. See if that doesn't make sense. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. Okay, now back to Jude's command. We know what praying in the Spirit is now, right? Praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to understand is that as believers in Jesus Christ, once you've accepted Him as your Savior, this activity of the Holy Spirit, Him praying for us, this activity of the Holy Spirit is not something that we need to initiate. We are given the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Savior. So when we pray, the Spirit does His job of interceding and praying for what God wants for us. Our job is to pray, yes. But praying in the Spirit, besides the actual praying, means that we need to come in line and accept God's answer and God's provision. You and I, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, is receiving and accepting and embracing what God wants for us instead of saying, God didn't answer my prayer. Remember last week we said truth eroders are after three things. They're after power, they're after pleasure, and they're after comfort. Now, not any one of these is bad, but it is God who dispenses these to us at His choosing. We cannot wrestle any of this into our own hands. That is what truth eroders try to do. They do not want to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit because they do not want what God wants for them. They want what they themselves want for them. Now, if you have to bend God's word to procure your prayer request, that is not praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe, well, the ends justifies the means, you're probably not praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why Jude tells you and me, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lay your will down. Lay your desires aside. Lay your all on the altar of sacrifice and open your arms wide to what God has for you. The stuff that the Holy Spirit has been beseeching God for on your behalf. Okay, quick recap here. Eroding God's truth will lead us away from, as Jude calls it, being safe in God's love. That's mean having God's best. Remember, love is wanting the best for someone else at your own expense. Now, we can avoid that. We can avoid that and remain safe in his love by doing some erosion control. And erosion control, so far what we've learned, is we have to be building each other up, and we have to be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this makes sense. Jude is making complete sense here. If you want to remain safely in God's love, if you want God's best for you, which was purchased for us by Jesus, then we must encourage one another to hold fast in the faith. We have to encourage one another to stand on God's promises. And we have to encourage each other to yield to what the Spirit inside us is asking God for and let God increase our knowledge of the Scriptures. And then when we pray, we gladly receive what God's choice is. We gladly receive God's best. That is when we are doing what we are told to do, which is remain safe in God's love. One final erosion controller here, and it's number 3. It says this: to await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. Now, there are 2 thoughts here. The first thought is this idea of keeping our minds focused on our eternal destination and our eternal reward. This is tough for a lot of people when we think little of, you know, we tend to think little of heaven, and we tend to think little that that is our real eternal home. We tend to think life here is a priority. As the saying goes, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I see people every day at the firehouse who live with that mentality. They believe there is no life after death, so they do everything and anything they wish to make life as pleasurable and comfortable and fulfilling as they can here. The problem is that Christ followers often fall into that mindset as well. And when that happens, truth eroding becomes a viable option. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to always remember that this world, as incredible and wonderful as this world is not what it's all about. We're heading for a better place where we will receive our reward and our authority based on what we've done with what God has given us here. The second thought in here is patience. The King James Version uses the word looking. It means looking forward to or waiting for. The whole idea is that there is a waiting that must take place. The New International Version offers an even clearer translation when it says this: keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now remember, Jude's whole goal in this, on the solution side, was to have us to remain safe in God's love. And we know now that the atmosphere that we're going to do this in is one of waiting. We are waiting. We are waiting for our entry into heaven. We are waiting for Jesus' return. We are waiting for God to unfold in front of us the life he has for us. It's a waiting. But you and I, we choose how we will wait. We can choose to wait well. We can choose to wait impatiently and with an attitude. Or we can choose not to wait at all. Truth eroders want what they want when they want it. Choosing the I don't want to wait for anything model will require some significant truth eroding. Gang, waiting is something we must accept and embrace in our walk with God. I needed to grow in this area as a newbie follower of Jesus many years ago. I wanted a girlfriend, but God told me, wait. I wanted a job on the fire department, but God told me, you have to wait. I wanted a diploma. God said, you have to wait and work. I wanted children. God said, I want you to wait. Every one of those waitings was time well spent, I found out. Because in that time, I grew. In that time, I learned. In that time, I trusted. I developed an appreciation for what was coming. Dan, you can write this on your outlines. Our waiting should be an active waiting. Our waiting should be an active waiting, not an inactive time. It should be a time of preparation. Our waiting should be a time of growth, and our waiting should be a time of readiness. Are you waiting for a career? Are you waiting for a career? Use this time, then, to build a resume. Working as a paper filer at a doctor's office looks a lot better than dressing up like the Statue of Liberty and holding a sign pointing towards a tax return office. It does. I hope I didn't offend any Statue of Liberty sign holders. Waiting for God to send you a spouse? Waiting for that one? Read books like Captivating, if you're a lady. Read books like Wild at Heart, if you're a man. And dig up your life. Heal inner wounds. Because you cannot go into a marriage broken and think the marriage will be whole. Wait actively. Gang, this all began by showing us how we can avoid truth eroding in our lives. We all have erosion control we must be doing so that we can secure God's best in our lives. My prayer is that this church be a church of doers of God's word, building one another up in God's love, that we spend our time waiting actively and doing what God has called us to do to prepare for all that lies ahead. I pray that each one of us would learn to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, say, not my will, Lord, but yours. And accept what he's given us so that maybe when God asks us to write a letter that he never wanted to write, we would do it. Because 2,000 years later, churches would spend 6 weeks gleaning God's truth from it. I'm going to ask the band to come back. I'm going to ask us to spend the last couple minutes we have together talking to God in your heart. Maybe there's some things that you need to be getting straight with God. Say, you know what, Lord? I've been asking you for some things and beseeching you on some things that I'm not getting. Maybe there's something the Holy Spirit's been beseeching you about for me that are different. Open my eyes to them. Let me accept what you've given. Maybe there's some encouraging that you need to be doing with others along the way. And not vague encouraging, good job, but specific encouraging. I like this about you. I saw you do this, and that's living the Bible. Or stand fast, I'll go through this one with you. We can make it through. We can get down, we can get over this hill, and the road will be a little easier once we get over the crest. Or maybe we just need to wait with an attitude of what's coming, saying, Lord, prepare me for what lies ahead. Help me to build my treasure. And help me to be patient in an active way, that I'm using the time that you've given me like it's precious. I heard a story one time about a man who had figured that he would live about 75 years. He had read that he would live about 75 years. That was the norm. So he put marbles into a big jar, and each marble represented 1 week. He counted out how many weeks he would have until he turned 75. He says, I had this big jar of marbles, and each one was a week. That's how long I have to live, I figure. And as he told the story, finally, he said, I wanted to tell you that story because I took out my last marble today. And I don't know how many more I should have put in, but I made sure each one of those marbles counted so that when I get there, I'm not sorry about how I waited and invested my time. I waited actively. Would you stand? Would you close your eyes? Jude wrote a letter 2,000 years ago and spent the whole first half before the hinge telling us that there are people who are trying to water down God's word. That there are people who will try to tell you what God is saying isn't exactly what he's saying, and that there's easier ways to do things to get what you want. He spent 20 verses talking about it and then said this, but you, dear friends, must build up each other in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in his love. Jesus, I pray that you would help each of us to remain safe in your love, getting your best, living the life you designed for us, not accepting anything else and not asking you for anything else. And Lord, I pray that you help each of us to build each other up, to be a church that encourages one another, where each one of us can be a leader because we are an encouraging leader. And I pray that you'd help each of us to pray in the power of your Spirit, allowing and thanking the Spirit for straightening out our prayers that go to you cockeyed and get straightened out when they get to you. And I pray that you'd help us to wait well. Wait in a way that we are becoming who you want us to become, so when you say, now is the time, we're ready. Thank you for this letter. Thank you for the night that you've given us. And I pray that each of us would go out of here different than we came in, that each of us would live a life that Jude is calling us to here through the weekdays, through the power of your Spirit. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.